Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. John Blangero's alter ego is Sun King Rising. He calls his latest record, Delta Tales, the rebirth of classic Southern rock and soul, and says his music is more focused on his love of organic rock, like Joe Cocker, Leon Russell, and early Elton John's music. It reflects his love of Southern rock and Texas soul. John and I talk about all of that on this latest edition of Americana Music Profiles.
Hi, John. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thanks a lot, Greg. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us this afternoon. You were telling me a few minutes ago you're just blocks away from the Mexican border down there in Texas. Is that right?
Today I happen to be in Brownsville, which is as close to Texas as you can get. Okay. My house is actually in Port Isabel, right on the Gulf. But today I'm in the city.
Okay. All right. Reading over your bio, I think I understand correctly. That's not hasn't been home your whole life for you. Is that right?
I was born in the Pittsburgh area, but after I finished university and my PhD, I got down to Texas and have never looked back. So I've been in Texas 35 years or so.
Okay. All right. So it's basically home now at this point then.
It's home now. Yeah.
So how did music become a thing for you in the earlier days when you were in the northern part of the United States? What got you started in this career?
Sure. It was the usual sort of wanting to be in a rock band. And back then I was actually in a progressive rock band that booked out of the Pittsburgh area. Progressive glam, I think you could call
okay.
it. So, you know, a big show, lots of synthesizers, things like that.
Right.
Pretty far away from rootsy music.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And then I gave that up to get a real profession, and I went into biomedical research, and I trained as a geneticist. I'm kind of a many years in medical research.
Then I
came back again to a more organic sound. I was living in San Antonio, and I really got into blues and playing with a band again. And after that, I decided I wanted to do my own music.
That's quite the at least on the outside, it appears to be quite the jump from playing in a glam band to biomedical research. How did that come about?
I guess I always had a very practical side, and I realized that.
Yeah, but there's all kinds of practical things you could do.
I think I realized that glam was going to be short-lived, you know?
Yeah, but you could have gone to work at the local steakhouse or something, you know? I mean, into biomedical research is quite quite the jump.
Yeah, I was never that fond of labor, so I went for the more cerebral side. And I was really, really good at math, and that kind of led me to it.
Yeah. Was this something that was on your radar as a younger child, interest in that kind of a thing? That it was.
I wanted to be a scientist.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't know what kind. For a while, I thought I was going to be an archaeologist until I actually took a course in it and found out just how deadly dull it can be. And so then I decided it was also, you know, there was some calculation in there. I could see that working on the medical side of things might open the opportunity up a bit to maybe a little better lifestyle. And so I had that in there too.
So did that career choice, is that what led you to Texas initially?
It did. Yes.
Yeah.
I came down here for my very first professional job in San Antonio, and like I say, I've stayed in Texas ever since, though recently I've moved further south. I'm actually a professor in the medical school at the University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley.
Okay, and, so you're still in the medical fields, per se.
Yeah. It's one of those things. I will say I'm far better known in medical science than I am in music.
so far, but we're working on that, right?
That's right. I mean, I'm working hard on it, yeah.
So what led you back into the music for the second time then? How, because I think I read you were out for maybe 20 years, didn't really do a whole lot.
Yeah, you know, I you kind of get this feeling where something's missing, and I started playing piano again, and I've always loved playing piano, but I had given it up for a long time, and then I found that when I was playing music, and I started writing music again that time, and it really, you can't do anything else when you're playing music. So right. It's a great way to remove all the pressures of the day and just clear your mind. I mean, just from a neurological perspective, mm-hmm. you know, when you're playing music, it fires a lot of connections in your brain and really does take over. So,
yeah, okay.
And it's been really, you know, it was a therapeutic in a sense, because I had a very high pressure sort of job and was doing massive amounts of traveling all over the world. So music became my source of peace.
Yeah, that's cool. And songwriting has always been a part of that as well for you, or is that a newer phase?
Okay. Yeah, even back in my earliest days, we were an all original, you know, prog glam band, you know. So, although I did my time, you know, playing covers in blues bands, and that was really good to kind of, you know, get some discipline. But uh-huh. I was writing songs, and it's just that, you know, it's not really the kind of thing you're going to break out in a bar. So, and then after that, I started getting really into recording again, and then it's all taken off from there. And now I really want to put a band together, and we are doing that around mm-hmm. my Sun King Rising project, which is much, you know, earthier sort of music, but, you know, also involves quite a few people, because, you know, we often have a horn section and kind of gospel backup singers, so it'll be a big production when we do get out on the road.
Yeah, I read I'm not sure if this was your interpretation or somebody had labeled this, but the rebirth of Southern rock and roll. I like that.
I think they say Southern rock and soul, because we definitely have this, you know, we've got this Southern soul, country soul vibe going that I really like.
Yeah.
So we're kind of eclectic. We're a bit all over the place. We got some Elton John influences in there too. That's from my kind of piano playing, and then Leon Russell's always been absolutely one of my favorite songwriters and piano players. So I kind of got that going in there.
I can hear that. Yeah, that's cool.
It's a gumbo of, as they say, of sources.
Where did the Sun King Rising moniker come from?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That actually comes from my science background. I'm a pretty flamboyant speaker, and I've always kind of put on a show at my talks, you know, I've always had the long hair, and I wear long coats, so I'm not your typical scientist.
The mad scientist look.
And somebody compared me to, like, you know, Louis XIV, Louis XIV, the Sun King, and and that stuck. They started calling me Sun King, and so we decided to carry it on into the musical side.
Okay, so that's your alter ego then, when you get on stage with the music.
Yeah. Lets me be free.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. All right, so the new record, Delta Tales, is that right? Is that what you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me about that. How long has that been in the works?
So we started that in January of 2020, which, of course, you know, and then the pandemic hit, which changed how, I mean, originally, you know, we were going to do kind of a classic, you know, all musicians in the same room, you know,
uh-huh.
playing as kind of old school as we could get, and then we had to get rid of that because there were restrictions on travel and restrictions on businesses, and so then we kind of spread it out and people were kind of doing their own things, except the rhythm section always played together, and you can definitely tell that from the record. And mainly is my, I mean, I really have to credit my producer, Ace Acker, who had a pretty cool career back in the 70s. He was in a band called Law that was discovered by Roger Daltrey of The Who and opened for The Who many times and whatnot.
Yeah.
Hey, he's old school kind of thing. And he really took the reins, and the album wouldn't have been made without him. He was really a force of nature behind the production and wanting to get an authentic, vibe to it. I mean, this album, this album sounds like it could have come out of like 1972.
Oh, for sure. Even some of the late 60s vibe I could feel in there.
Yeah, we got
the early stuff.
We got it going in there. I'm super proud of the album sonically. I think it just sounds, great.
Yeah.
And I think that's really from, there's no auto tune on this album. There's nothing synthetic. Those are real horns.
That's cool.
That's real Hammond organ,
awesome.
Real grand piano.
Yeah.
It's all.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
Yeah, I love that Hammond sound. It's just so unique, and you can pick it out whenever it shows up in anybody's music. I grew up listening to music in the 70s and 80s. That's my style too. So I guess maybe that I've got my ear tuned to that, but still.
Yeah.
That feels.
It's a great sound.
Yeah.
Whenever I want to bring a little bit more gospel in there, I crank that thing, I crank the Hammond up a bit.
So writing the songs for this project, did you write them intentionally for this record, or are they a collection over the last couple of years?
This one's, some of these songs were more than a decade old when I started writing again, and then several of them were written specifically for it, like Milkweed and Thistle was written specifically for this. Beneath the Southern Sun was written specifically for this. Evangeline in the Morning was kind of started early, but was really pulled out and made special for this. And there were a few others. And there's some older ones, like Down the Delta Road was an older song, and Drive Me to Nashville. Anyway, it was kind of a mixture. And And then my favorite song, actually, for the album, which isn't on the first CD, but was released as a single, and is now, we're putting the CD out again now with this song, and it's called Free Will in China Blue. And that's a soul stomper. I mean, that's got a heck of a horn section in it. And that one's got a funny genesis because, so after we finished the album, the record company, I'm with Peacock Sunrise Records, and the president of the record company, Nick Catona, said, hey, why don't you do a bonus track so we can offer people? And it would be purely a digital bonus track for downloads. Mm-hmm. And I sat down and I wrote Free Will in China Blue, and we knocked it out. And I knew I had something special, and then we recorded it quickly, probably like within the week or 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, okay.
And then we said, oh my God, this has got to be the single. And so, then everything I've been writing since then is much more focused and more in that Free Will in China Blue vibe.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So it's it's a bit of all. So some of the songs are older, but we stamped them. Ace took them back to the bones, and we started fresh and with real players. I'd done all the demos I'd done myself in my home studio, so there's very little connection between some of those demos and what turned out. So it was in that sense, it's all new.
Yeah. Okay. And you called it Delta Tales. Why? Where did that come from?
So it's really an album about the South. It's kind of I wouldn't call it a concept album, but I always like to say it's thematically coherent. And it's really tales from a Southern perspective and all the usual things that we get in the South, songs of sin and redemption and joy, and we got a little bit of Southern noir. There's a little bit of dark stuff going on there, but on the whole, we tried to make this one pretty positive. So we've got, and you know, I got a lot of, I got a lot of gospel feeling in there too.
I feel a little of that Texas boogie sneaking through sometimes too. And
every so often, you get, if you listen to my left hand, you'll get some of that.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I could hear a little of that sneaking through. I love that feel too. That's awesome. have you had a chance to share it with audiences live? Have you? What kind of response? Are you
not
getting?
At all.
No?
I mean, we really, you know, as I say, we as soon as we started making this thing, the pandemic hit, and you know, now it's starting. You know, now things are popping up, and there's you're getting a return to live music. But you know, we're really, because the band's is gonna be pretty large. We're pretty much gonna be constrained to festivals and things like that, and we've missed the boat on that in terms of time. So
you know,
maybe next year or something. And so now we're deep in the recording of the next album. So
okay,
we decided,
so
instead of trying to put our effort into getting a live show together, let's do the second album, and then when we finally are able to play live, we'll have, you know, a substantial body of material to pick from.
Yeah. Do you have a name yet for the new set?
Yeah, I think it's going to be called Signs and Wonders.
Okay.
And it'll be another, it's heavily Southern themed, you know.
Yeah.
And some of the songs even kind of tie together, because I still got this, I'm so accustomed to prog rock. And I have this whole other symphonic side that I do on the prog rock side, but I can't do that with Sun King Rising. But I kind of, you know, I weave themes together and across songs. So
okay,
I've got some of that in there too.
Now you,
but the next songs are fantastic. I must say, it sounded absolutely great. The next album.
Yeah, are these more recent songs that you've written?
Yeah, they were all written for this album. I've written them in the last, you know, 6 months.
Do you have a process that you follow when you write songs? Everybody seems to be different with that.
Yeah, it doesn't vary too much, to tell you the truth. So, you know, I'm always keeping on the lyrical side, and I spend a lot of time on my lyrics. I really kind of, I'm into that side of it, you know. And so, you know, I always keep notebooks and whatnot, and I'll run into phrases. I'll come up with a phrase, and I'll say, that's going to be a title, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I try to play every single day. I try to play piano every day, and I like to play in the mornings. And I'll find something that kind of rings a bell, and I'll say, I got a title, I think, that goes with that. And I'll work from there. So, you know, I always start with a chord progression, and then I'll find a melody around some lyric that I've kind of have thought about a bit. So I generally work that way.
Uh-huh.
So,
do you have what's it look like moving forward? Do you have a bucket list with your music? Do you think far enough out that you dream about what all this could be?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now the materials is super strong, so I want to be able to keep growing my songwriting. And this band that we're currently putting together, that we're playing with in the studio, they're just fantastic. I mean, the rhythm section's out of this world. And I'd love to be able to keep that kind cohesion together. And I'd really love to play this stuff out live, because I think it's the kind of music that will, I know that it will work live. It's got, you know, people are going to be, you know, bouncing, you know, they're going to be dancing.
Yeah.
We've got some real, you know, energy in this stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's, you know, there's a lot of hooks in it, I think. You know, I think it's, you know, pretty catchy stuff. And you know, you really need a live audience to, if you're going to get to larger numbers these days, since, as we mentioned earlier, you know, there's so much great material out there in the digital world. It's hard for people. It's hard to cut through.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So hopefully with the, you know, we got a lot of really great reviews on the first album. So hopefully we can keep the buzz up for the second one and really establish us. You know, we've tried to get building a national image and an international. We've done very well in the UK with radio play magazine buzz and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
You know, we're trying to establish the brand.
Yeah, right.
So that we can get out there and play to larger audiences.
The folks that you have been working with to produce the studio projects, will they be able to be your band live going forward, or do you have to put together?
Yeah, I think that's the plan. Yeah. Right? You know, they're pretty much into it, and
okay,
you know,
awesome.
They've invested. It's the we're not going in there with a tight structure. We're letting people, you know, pretty much play how they feel.
Uh-huh.
So it's although the songs are completely, you know, written by the time they get them, they're all investing their own emotional content.
That's
and,
cool.
You know, and that's what kind of makes it, you know, that makes it exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So where can people find you, find this record or get in touch and follow what's going on and catch the show?
So you can definitely go to sunkingrising.com,
okay,
and you'll find all the news there, and we keep a blog going every week, and we keep all our press there, and there's ways to make sure that you can find the CD if you want the CD. We're also about to release the vinyl.
So, oh, cool. You know, all right.
That's going to be available also. And of course, it's on all the streaming services too.
Okay, you know? Good.
So it's not hard. If you pop in Sun King Rising into your browser, you're gonna find us now.
I like that title. That's cool. Well, thanks, John. This has been great, man. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and learn about your music. And we certainly wish you great success with this going forward.
Well, thanks so much, Greg. It's always fun to talk to music lovers, and
right,
you know, you've got such a great magazine. Just, you know, good luck with keeping it all real out there.
Yeah, thank you, John. I appreciate that too. Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.